This is a new city tradition that when we have a home going of one of the saints, we have an open mic and people are invited to come and give testimony or tell something embarrassing or funny about our brother or sister who has left. I have a few rules. One rule is that when you come to speak, make sure you give glory to God. It's not about you, not about all the good things you did for Tom. This is about the Lord and what God did through him and in his life, for which you are grateful. And the other rule is be brief, because I will be behind you. And then after a few moments, we'll invite family to come, and then Peter is going to close out this time. So if you have a word to say, make your way forward. This won't go on very long, so if you wait too long, by the time you stand up, it'll be over. So if you have something to say about Tom, you want to give praise for what God did through him, please come. This microphone stand is adjustable. You squeeze it here for it to go up and down.
My name is Joe Rahm. I didn't know the Tom Guthrie that was described in his younger life. I only knew Tom Guthrie here at New City. And I found Tom to be a very humble person. And I'll give you two quick examples. One day I came over here several years ago, and Tom was over here with a pressure washing the sidewalk to New City Church. Apparently nobody asked him to. He just felt like it needed to be done. And he didn't ask for any praise, anything like that. Number two is we have a men's breakfast. Tom used to be good in the kitchen, and especially fixing biscuits. And the last time he was in the kitchen fixing biscuits, and he never said anything, I'd say, Tom, can you help us out? He would always say yes, just what to me wouldn't be there. Last time he was in the kitchen helping out, Linda came to me later on and said, Tom, it took him 2 days to recover from that time he was in the kitchen helping you with the biscuits. But he never complained. He never said he was having any problems or anything. I would suggest that if any of us, Tom's sons, daughters, son-in-law, daughter-in-laws, grandchildren, any of us here, more roadmap to what it's like to be a good Christian. Look at Tom Guthrie's life.
My name is Eddie Salter. Some of you guys know I coached basketball for like 22 years. And I guess as a coach, you can take about just about anything. And some of you guys over here in Tom, they were always in my corner. When things were going bad. So, thank you, Linda. We have a confession. We have a confession to make. The guys who went to the football game need to stand up. Because we ate peanuts. Tom said not to tell Linda. But, now I can confess. And another thing is, Tom showed up at a basketball game and I said, what are you doing here? I thought Linda was sick. And he said, yes, she's in the emergency room, but she's in good hands. And it's a lot of confession, but I give honor to God just to know Tom and meet him. It's close to my heart. And then, thank you.
Hi, my name's Tim Simpson. I had the privilege of knowing Tom Guthrie that was here at New City Fellowship. And I was over the housing director with Hope for Chattanooga. And Tom Guthrie worked with a lot of kids that came through here on urban ministry teams doing different projects and whatnot. And he was always willing to serve, always willing to go, to give of himself. And there was one thing that just used to bug me to death about Tom. And, I don't know if you guys know anything about roofing, but, there's a roofing nail that's metal and has a bigger head than a regular nail. Those weren't good enough for Tom. He had to have the ones with the plastic caps on them. He made me drive all the way to Home Depot from Glenwood to get some nails with a plastic cap on them. And I was so mad at him. I didn't know what to do. But he grabbed me and he hugged me. And when you hug Tom, you know, you kind of go on a roller coaster ride. I'm a big guy, but Tom was real big guy. And I just thank God for knowing him. And I thank you, Linda, for just being here. Thank God for you both.
Hi, my name is Becky Hewn, and one of the things that I had been doing recently is coordinating meals for a lady who's going through cancer. And about 2 months ago, even though Tom's been going through what he was going through, he called me and said, Becky, I want to do a meal for Carol. And that just really impressed me that even though he was really struggling, he wanted to serve someone else. And I thank God for that.
My name is Lisa Cook, and last Friday night, my husband and I went to visit the Guthries, and I thought it was going to be this big, great spiritual time with them. And the funny thing is, to me, is every time I saw the Guthries, it was at a Macaulay event, which is a school nearby for those of you who aren't local, and I had sons there. And anytime I went to anything, there they were. It just amazed me. So here we are, Friday night, and we're visiting with them, and it's just a really great time, and the last thing he says to me is, here, take this Albion packet to your daughter. So.
You could have beat him.
My name is Miles Marks. I'm from Atlanta, and I've known Tom for 24 years, and he's had a huge impact on my life. So I walked in today. I hadn't talked to Tom in a while, but I read from his journal, in the final trimester of my life, I hope to impart many lessons I've learned and help people to learn the true meaning of friendship, love, and fellowship. And seeing Tom Guthrie in Greensboro, Georgia, was an oddity. He was totally unique. He was totally true to his heart. And he used to call me a young man, and he caught me as a freshman or a sophomore in college, freshman in college. We loved to go to Greensboro with Shelly. And Jenny and Shelly were roommates. But he would always, I cherished my time with Tom one-on-one, and he was a giver. But what he tried to do in his trimester is what he's done his entire life. And that's had a positive impact on people. And he's changed my life. And I do think about him a lot, especially after knowing that he was sick and thinking, did this guy change me? And I think the answer is yes. So.
Hi there. My name is Tommy Ligon. I'm originally from Madisonville, Kentucky. And I live in Greensboro, Georgia now, thanks to Tom and Linda and the influence of me being blessed with having the privilege to have the very best friend I've ever had in my whole life. And most especially to have the privilege to serve as Peter's godfather. What an honor that was. I'm in the trucking business, and I had a sales guy call him Tom. And we used to haul some lumber for him. And he says, Tommy, he says, you need to get to Greensboro, Georgia and meet Tom Guthrie. He said, you and him would really hit it off. Well, believe you me, we did. And I am just so honored and so thrilled to have been part of Tom's life and been part of Peter's and Linda's life and the whole family. I mean, I remember the day that we moved to Georgia from Kentucky. And shortly after that, Sarah got married, and I remember sitting in that Greensboro First United Methodist Church, and I got so choked up. Even Tom's, whenever they were filming the deal, and we were at Addison Hill one night, and we were playing that tape, And Tom says, Tommy, I think you got all choked up, didn't you? And I said, yes, I did. Well, I am so happy that my daughter is going to get married August 22nd in that same church. And that is very special to me, Sarah, and I will always, I will be thinking of you that day for sure. But once again, I just want to thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to have Tom Guthrie in my life. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Charles Green. Mr. Guthrie was the grandfather that I never had. I had no idea that when he walked up to me in church 10 years ago and called me Moose, he would become one of the most important people in my life. I really could do no wrong. I mean, my parents love me, but they're my parents, and this man loved me like I was his own flesh and blood. I was his favorite football player and his favorite black grandson. He had plans for my life. He could picture me in a gold and purple long before I knew that they were Albion colors. He simply took charge, and without being very obvious, he guided me to Albion. And before I knew it, I was walking around freezing, 10 hours away from home. When he wasn't in the stands watching me play, he did so from a computer or from a big screen TV. Mrs. Guthrie, I want you to know that I love you, and I thank you for sharing him with me. I'll never forget him. He was my grandfather, my mentor, my friend.
Well, Mr. Guthrie, he was the kind of Christian, he was a Christian man that I want to become. His heart was so big that even though he had his family, he loved me, Moose, of course, just like my brother. And I always knew that I was important to him as well. He was my grandfather also. He was so proud of me and never failed to let me know it. I'll never forget our first trip up to Albion College together in the freezing snow. I was a little nervous because it was our first time together without my brother Charles, and we usually were together, all three of us. But by the time we returned from Albion, he had convinced me to register at Albion, even though it was the coldest winter in Michigan's history. He was a good husband to Mrs. Guthrie and a good father to his children. He listened to her and he respected her. He worried about her and wanted her to be happy. He even let her drive. He loved talking about his children and his grandchildren, even though a few of them attend Baylor. Unbelievably, he rooted for them just as hard as he did for me at Macaulay. I love Grandpa Tom. I hope that I will one day become half the man that he believed that I was. I have a story about him, and it was when we were up at Albion on Mr. Guthrie Day, and Charles complimented on him he had this long rain jacket on, and Charles told him that he loved it, and Mr. Guthrie offered Charles a jacket right off his back. And that was just showed me how great of a man Mr. Guthrie was. And I just want y'all to know how privileged it was to have him in my life.
I want to thank these young men, one coming down from Michigan whose car flipped over on his way to the airport, and Charles flying in from London where he's doing a semester abroad just to be here today. Thank you both. Family, your turn. Linda said, if there's other family sitting back there, y'all should come up here and be identified.
Hello, my name is Ellen Mullert. This is my dad. I'm also Natalie Mullert's mother, and I'd like to thank this congregation for so graciously welcoming her into the Christian faith as you did 2 weekends ago. My husband Troy and I deeply appreciate it. I'm going to keep it short. I know the rules, but I'm going to tell you 10 things you may not know about my dad. My dad had the most beautiful garden in his backyard. He grew every vegetable imaginable. And every night at our dinner table, there was a fresh corn, zucchini, carrot dish. But his favorite, the apple of his eye, was the tomato. My dad loved a homegrown tomato. And during the height of the summer season, he would have a salt shaker in one hand and a bag of tomatoes in the other, and whoever would take one, he would give it. Number two, my dad was not a big fan of belts. And with his physique as it was, he needed something to keep his pants up. And if you've ever been to his home, you know sometimes he used his hand. But what I remember is his red suspenders. And every memory I have of my dad, as a little girl, he had on a pair of red suspenders to keep those pants up. Number three, many of you know he sent a pumpkin picture every year. Oh, it's his Christmas card. But what you may not know is he never tired of carving those pumpkins. And you know how kids are. You go out to carve those pumpkins and they last about a minute. But my dad would sit out there for hours. He'd scoop those seeds and he would carve. He would carve for hours and make the most beautiful little jack-o'-lanterns for all of us to enjoy. Number four, you may think my dad's carve choice was the Cadillac. It's probably second. But he loved a Ford pickup truck. And that's what he rode around our town of Greensboro, Georgia in. And I have to agree with Reverend Ed. If there was a fire, my dad would be there. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He would not be the first to arrive. He drove so slow and always drove so slow. Number five, when he would come to California every year, it was one of the highlights of our year. But one time he came, he built a treehouse with his own bare hands for his grandchildren. And many a child has enjoyed that treehouse. And I'm going to tell you, he did not go to Home Depot to buy the lumber. He went to the local lumber yard. And that is where he bought the lumber for that treehouse. Number six, my dad loved a Hickory Farms beef stick. And magically, one would arrive every Christmas. Some one of us kids would get him that beef stick. And every time you go to Hickory Farms in the Christmas season, think of my dad. Number seven, there were five kids in this family, and we had lots of friends, and whether they be college age or high school or elementary, or little ones, we were always welcome at his home. The door is always open for whoever, whenever, food was served, and Dad never failed to make anyone who entered his home feel important. Number eight, my dad gave money every year to the Indians for Indian reservations. And I just learned this in the last month. But I'm going to tell you, I was there when he died, and he was wrapped up. He was cold, and he was wrapped up in about 3 or 4 blankets from those Indians. So that's just something you may not know. Number nine, my dad had a family business, and he had a company picnic every year. But it just wasn't a picnic. He got a bus, and he hauled everyone and their families from that company up to Six Flags. And let me tell you, for some of those kids, that was the event of their year. And number 10, if I were my dad, and it was a moment such as this, I'm going to tell you what he would say. Well, what else? I love you, Dad. I'm going to miss you, and God bless him.
Thank you, New City. Tom loved you. Tommy, I'm sure you enjoyed the tomato story. When Tom and I were courting, we had our song, and our song was by Barry White, and it was You're My First, My Last, My Everything. And we said that to each other all the time, and we signed our cards that way, and we thought that was true. And then one day, going home from church, Tom said, "We can't say that anymore." And I said, "Why not?" Well, you know. And he said, "Weren't you listening to Randy?" And I said, "Well, yes, I was." And he explained to me what Randy had just told us in one of his sermons that will touch you always. And that was that Jesus is your first, your last, your everything. And even if you're being surface saying that to a person, you really shouldn't say it because you're not honoring your love of Jesus. So we stopped saying it. But he said, "You know, because Jesus is our first and our last and our everything, he has given us what he's given us. He's given us each other, and he's given us our children, and he's given us the love of the church, and he's given us all the many blessings. And so you keep that in mind when I don't call you my first, my last, my everything anymore. You just know that you're his gift to me because he is my first, my last, my everything." And there's just one other thing I want to say, and that is when we found out 1 month ago that Tom only had a short time left, things changed between us. And we had a very, very strong marriage before that. But I found out how much stronger it became when we knew there was a time frame. And I hope that all of you who love somebody will love them as if there's a time frame, because there is a time frame. We just don't know what it is. Amen.
My name is Peter, and I'm the youngest son of Thomas Addison. And I want to thank all of you for sharing in your memories of my dad and the joy that he provided to in all of your lives, and the way that he touched you, and the way that he loved you. He loved well, and he was well loved. And that means the world to the family to know. I want to thank you for mourning with us as we are sad and sorrowful at his leaving us, and the void, the big gap that leaves in all of our lives. I want to thank you for the hugs, for the tears. You've been Jesus to us. I've seen Jesus in your faces, and the compassion in his love. And I want to thank you for the ways that you so gently and so lovingly have reminded us of the promise of the resurrection in this difficult time. That even when the sting of death seems so real, when, frankly, all that I want is my dad back. I want another tomato. I want another Friday night football game. Another trip to Michigan. I want to sing Blessed Assurance with him one more time. I want him to hold my grandbaby. In the midst of all that, in the midst of that rawness, we have the audacity of the Christian faith that says that even though death seems so real and it's crossed over the threshold, that 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary and in an empty tomb of a rich man, Christ is risen and death is defeated. And the mystery of that I have never been, I feel like I've never been so far from comprehending, but I've never felt so close to just wanting to grasp on. To know that the love that has been shared and has been expressed today is but a mere drop of water in the ocean of the love of Christ and of the glory that is the kingdom to come. I wanted to share something with you that my dad had, when we were going through his things, a poem that he had written. And it didn't have a date, but I believe that it was soon after he had moved to Chattanooga. It's called Wounds. Wounds, some wear them for the world to see. Wounds, some are interned in thee. Either way, they can only stifle me. They are excess baggage of the mind for our friends and loved ones to find. Wounds become the lessons of our past, those hurts and sorrow that would like to last. But there is a time and place for all. The healing power of love is not small. So allow the love that is a gift of life to penetrate your soul and relieve your strife. Love will make you whole and cleanse your soul. All of the wonderful things that have been said about Dad. He was a man who carried a lot of wounds. We saw the physical ones. Some of us saw the emotional ones. And I want you all to know that y'all all were the love that helped lead him and helped heal him. And most importantly, led him to the one that is ultimately able to heal him. As I look out in this congregation, I think that my dad must have done something right, because this is a little microcosm of the kingdom of heaven with all these different people from all these different places and areas of his life and backgrounds. It's a little foretaste of the joy that we will all experience. And it's comforting to know that now Dad is there with his wounds healed.